Thank you for inviting me, whoever was responsible for that. I am glad to be with you today. On this Sunday, that reminds me of my years of pastoring in Los Angeles. That is, you can see the air, touch the air, and smell the air, and taste the air all at the same time. And so, welcome to LA without the palm trees, right? Thank you to this church for all that you do. I read to you now the second reading of the day, Psalm 34. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. He keeps all their bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. May God add God's blessing to the reading of the scripture today. I am touched today with the verses of this psalm that say the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I want to first thank you as a church for hosting us. It is a pleasure to be here and to feel as if we are part of a great move that this church has partaken in, this community, for many years. And the folks here, all of you have been just so kind. Kathy, Ken, and Richard especially have been helpful. And for that, we are grateful. We knew we were losing our pantry location and our church location. We had been looking around and had been negotiating for a piece of property that at the last began to sort of fall through. And I thought, what about UCC? We have so much in common with them, and they have been friends through the years in supporting the pantry. And so we asked the question, and through some conversations, you all said yes. So thank you for that. They've asked me this morning to talk a little bit about the pantry and the church and my testimony, which really bothers me. I just had a friend recently who I have been encouraging to attend a church. He lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and so he finally took me up on it last Sunday, and he sent me an email and said, well, I went to church, and that guy only talked about himself. And so it was not me, and I hope you don't go away today feeling as if I've only talked about myself. In the early 1980s, AIDS was devastating the gay community, and no one really knew what to do. If you were paying attention to the news in those days, we went from fear to fear, wondering whether we could catch it through the air or through a handshake or through a kiss. It was in those days that MCC of the Gentle Shepherd had some folks who said that they must do something. There were no government programs in those days to help anyone. And so all they had was a car, and they began to gather food and items, put in the trunk of the car, and go to the houses of people affected with HIV and begin to hand out food. And that's how it all started, in the back of a car, in a trunk. The reality is that HIV and AIDS affects people from all walks of life. We know that now. At least 50% of the people that we serve are no longer gay or lesbian. They are considered straight people, families with children. And yet they have HIV or AIDS. And with that comes, still to this day, a stigma. When I first came to Martha's Pantry and to pastor this church, one of my first experiences was to see a woman drive up into the parking lot in a rather late model, nice automobile. And I saw her park. I noticed that she, after a while, she never got out of the car, and soon pulled out of the parking lot and went away. The next Tuesday that we were open, I saw her again come, and it was the same routine. I noticed this time, as I looked more carefully, that there were a couple children in the back of the automobile. We were open also on Thursday afternoon, and I saw her again. This time, I walked up to the car and asked her whether I could help her. She rolled down the window and, with shaking voice, said, "No, I'm fine, and pulled out of the parking lot and left. The following Tuesday, she was there again. So I thought, well, let's do the same routine. And I walked up to her car and asked if I could be of help. She began to cry and talked about how she needed food to feed her family and how she was so embarrassed to come. We were able to assure her there was no reason to be embarrassed at Martha's Pantry, and she came in and has been coming now for some time, found a place that accepts and without condemnation, without any judgment. And I hear the scripture, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." That's really what we are about. We are about being a place where anyone can come and feel accepted, loved, and get their needs met. Sometimes people ask us, well, what can I do to help? We have some brochures that you can pick up that talk about things that you could give if you wanted to. Many of you already do that. But we are different than other pantries in town in that we don't just give food. We also have cleaning supplies and sort of those household things that are expensive and that are really tough on people's pocketbooks, and the kinds of things that are essential to keeping a sanitized and healthy home. So I remember when I was a very young Christian, someone said, I heard it on the radio, little is much when God is in it. Have you heard that? Little is much when God is in it. And so this little church did a great thing because God was there. As I look out upon you today, I recognize that in the light of what's happening in the church world today, you're also a little church. We're living in the day, you know, of mega churches. Bigger the better. But little is much when God is in it. And you have proven that, and MCC has proven that. I was born and raised in this town. At 16 years of old, my neighbor came talking about her church and how much she loved Jesus. She was having coffee with my mother, and my mother really was not that interested in what she was saying, but a 16-year-old boy just down the hall in his bedroom was listening intently to what she was saying. She finally came to the punchline, you know, that sort of Christian punchline, which is, would you come to church with me? And my mother responded by, well, I don't think so. Not this Sunday. We're going camping or something like that. And I remember distinctly sort of quickly going down the hallway and saying, I'll go to church. I'd like to go to church. And so I went to church with them that night to a wild, I mean, we had been raised, you know, in the Methodist church in Orchards. And it was a very dignified, lovely little church where everything sort of happened. You know, Methodists are really good at order. And she took me to a church like I had never dreamed was possible. There were people before the service began. They were all up in the front. They were praying, and that's okay, but they were praying out loud. In our church, only someone prayed out loud from the pulpit. But all these people were kneeling and praying out loud, and there was this sound that sort of echoed through the building. And I remember even asking the person, my neighbor lady, as two of the older ladies began to shake hands, and they did this Pentecostal thing where they began to shake and talk in tongues. Well, somebody ought to warn you, you know, before you go to church at a place like that. And so I asked Juanita, what are they doing? And she said, well, the Holy Spirit has come upon them. And I remember thinking, I better get out of this place. And just as I was about ready to get up, the evangelist stepped to the center of the auditorium and said, everyone be silent and don't move. He knew. How did he know? What happened, of course, that night was that I had a conversion experience. And I went back to my Methodist church, and it seemed to me, I thought about it even this morning as we sang the opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Every song that we sang, every window, every prayer was now more alive than I had ever known it to be. And some of you, I know, believe in a call, and God called me to preach the gospel, and at the age of 16, I began to preach through the Northwest churches and camp meetings. As a teenage evangelist, I then went to Los Angeles to go to school and began to pastor a church. In fact, today one of my friends who was one of the music directors for a few years there is here today, this morning. And yet in my heart, something was missing. Something was strange. Something was different. I seemed to always have these feelings that would not go away. I did not understand what being gay or lesbian or transgendered or bisexual. I didn't understand any of that. I really didn't even want to understand it. Afraid of what it might mean. And so I just believed that if I prayed harder, if I prayed more, if I learned more scripture, if I somehow could dedicate myself more fully to God, that those feelings would go away. And if there's anybody here struggling with that today, they don't go away. No matter how much you suppress, they don't go away. And so I continued to pastor and built a great church that was known for its praise and worship and its missionary outreaches. But at the age of 40 years old, that seems, even to me today, that seems like an old age. I mean, you ought to have your life together before 40, right? You ought to know who you are before 40. But at 40 years of age, I still had not settled this question. And there was an evening where I had been teaching out in the valley, and the church that I was teaching in said, well, it's really too far for you to drive because I pastored in the area called South Bay, which is way south of is the south end of Los Angeles, and the valley is, if you know LA, is on the north end, and the traffic can be horrendous. So they said, we're going to put you up in a hotel. And it was one of those nights where I was very, restless. And so after service, I decided to take a drive and ended up in Santa Monica on the beach at the street called Santa Monica Boulevard. And as I started down the boulevard, I thought, I don't know where this boulevard ends. And so, as was my custom often, I would just drive sometimes for hours and explore new areas. And in the midst of that time, it was November, I remember it very clearly. And in LA, there can be heat waves in November. Aren't we lucky? And it was one of those evenings where it was warm, and I came to what is called Gay Town. And here are all of these men in t-shirts and jeans. And I thought, what in the world is this? And so I circled and circled until about 5 o'clock in the morning, and the next night I came right back. And through that experience, I met another man who was a father, and we talked for hours. Through that experience, I began to recognize my own sexuality. It put me on a journey that I would not have sort of wanted for anyone, but it brought me to the place where I could finally, with integrity, say, this is who I am. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord is near to the crushed in spirit. From that experience, I began to do what they call coming out. And I know that many of you know about that because PFLAG was here for so many years, and many of you were involved in that. I began to resign from my church and from the denomination that I served, though I didn't really have to resign from them because once they found out what was happening, they decided they would resign from me. And from an individual who had been popular and had had so many friends for so long, and suddenly you are alone, without a job, without friends. The only calls that I received were calls of where people were willing to do exorcisms on me. And there was one thing I had learned, and that is that I didn't need an exorcism. That what I needed was to have my heart changed and healed. And it led me on this journey, which I wouldn't take anything for now. It's led me into a new family. It's led me to places and people and experiences that I absolutely am grateful for. Well, I have talked too much about myself and too long. God bless you, and thank you again to this wonderful church for hosting us. God bless you.